fall through me and always fool me, and I can't react. And games that never amount.
This is Paloma, and I'm here with Davy Jones, and today we're speaking to one of the members of The Frames.
Hi, I'm Paloma Kamimra. I'm violinist with The Frames.
To have people do is tell us their story. So, once upon a time, there was a band called The Frames.
Once upon a time, there's a band called The Frames that kind of started off. The band got together in 1990. I met Glenn, who sings with us, in 1986, where both of us were street musicians, very young street musicians in the city of Dublin. And we ended up playing together by about 1987, and then the band happened about 1990, and we're the only two original members. I mean, not that everybody else is a recent arrival either. Joe's been with us since 1997. He's the bass player, and we've got a Chicago guitar player who's been with us for about since 2001, I think, or 2002 perhaps. And we play a lot around the world, and most recently we were in Switzerland last weekend, and we're going to Belgium next weekend.
Wow.
And then after that we're going to Australia.
Could I ask you, what is it that keeps you playing for 17 years? Did you believe there's a magic formula for that?
There is, yeah. The magic formula is called enjoyment. I think, you know, it kind of sounds corny, but if you weren't enjoying it, you'd really have to be a masochist, you know. I think it's kind of like anything, really. If I was fortunate enough to kind of discover quite early on what I really liked doing, or what my dream job, and I ended up doing it. And I'm kind of still doing it years later, and it's just kind of got better, actually. And it's not that kind of it's all been roses either. I mean, it's obviously been kind of I think any kind of creative profession has a kind of, there's a degree of apprenticeship about it. But thankfully, there's been a good balance between sunshine and rain over the years.
At what point in your life did you really realize that you wanted to be a career musician? I mean, how young were you when you had that? I like to call it that magic moment where you just know that's what
you want. I think it was around the time we went playing on the streets, really went busking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just kind of from being a kind of living and growing up in kind of suburban Dublin, like kind of in the suburbs of any city, that suddenly you discover the city centre for yourself and the streets, and you meet people who, you know, I mean, as opposed to being a street musician, you're kind of witness to everything that happens on the mm-hmm. street. And it's a real eye-opener as regards life mm-hmm. in all its forms. I think it was a real learning curve. Kind of, it was pretty much kind of an alternative college of music, because I kind of studied classical music, and kind of I played traditional music. My folks come from a traditional kind of background. So it was great to kind of go out there and kind of my music up until that point had been something that kind of was about lessons and structure, and so it was great to kind of throw that all in the wind, and kind of that's where the real learning started, really, I think, where you start discovering things for yourself rather than being told stuff.
Wow. Will you tell us a little bit about the Irish rock scene? Are there any up-and-coming bands that you're particularly excited about?
Yes, I suppose that there's loads of bands. I think it's funny because it's kind of gone through a phase of there was a real kind of strong kind of singer songwriter thing over the past couple of years, and now it's gone back to kind of more kind of rock bands, kind of but more influenced by the UK, I think, by England, which hasn't been the case for the past kind of 10 years. So there's a lot kind of Arctic Monkeys, I suppose, have had a big effect as well over here. So, but there are some. I'd say there's a great player called Phil Regan, who I think is really good, and he's kind of like a sort of like a very young Bob Dylan sort of cross with Nick Drake. He's a great guitar player, and his lyrics are really interesting as well. But he's one to look out for.
Certainly do that.
All right, so I've been listening to The Cost, and in reading the liner notes, I noticed that it's mysteriously dedicated to Multi the Ghost. Can you tell us about this, or is this a secret that can't be shared?
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's interesting you ask. Multi is basically a nickname for our soundman, Jerry. And Jerry has been kind of doing sound for us for, I think, since about 94.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be kind of 13 years. And just when we were in the middle of recording the record, he was at home in Dublin and we were recording in France, and he collapsed and had an aneurysm.
Oh.
And he very nearly died. And so he was kind of touch and go for a couple of months, really. And then, since then, he's kind of come back and he's got out of his wheelchair and he was walking on two canes, and then he was walking on one stick, and now he's stick free.
Wow.
So he's actually going to come away with us to Belgium next weekend to do a couple of festivals. But that'll be his first trip away with us in about 12 months at least.
Wow.
So that's Multi. And his nickname and his previous job, I think he used to work in a telecom company, and his nickname was The Ghost, because he used to show up and get out as quickly as possible. So he'd turn around and he's gone.
That's great.
So there you go.
That's a great story.
So Jerry's fine, and he's back in the bus.
Well, that's awesome. That's amazing.
It's good news. Yeah. Is there an instrument that you don't now play, but you would like to master?
What would it be now? What would it be? I think I'd really like to. I kind of have one. Oh, there's two instruments, really. I'd love to play the piano. Well, it's one of those things that one of the days I will actually sit down and do some piano lessons, because I've never had piano lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to learn the 5-string banjo, because I really love like Kentucky banjo music. And, yeah, I think it's great, you know, because the more instruments you kind of you pick up. My house here is full of instruments, and kind of every instrument kind of adds to your knowledge of your original instrument, because it just kind of makes you think about it in a different way. So the more instruments you kind of can lay your hands on, the better.
Breathing in the night, there's nothing else I'm needing now. The wind is at my side, and so are you. And together we will rise above all these words and promises we couldn't keep. Together we will fly above it all now. But sometimes we will fall from the light.
And the Frames are well known for live shows. Do you have a favorite song to play live?
At the moment, I think People Get Ready off the record is very enjoyable to play. But it really kind of changes around a lot, and kind of some songs surprise you, and you don't play some songs. I mean, it's like a kind of it's like a squad, a team squad of, you know, you might have 20 players, and not all the players get to play every game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can go 2 years and the player's sitting on the bench, and then it gets a game, or he or she gets a game, and plays out of their skin. So it's quite mercurial and mysterious, the whole live music thing, and I think that's what's kind of particularly attractive to us about it being a unique situation every night when you kind of you're faced with a different city or a different room full of people, you know, and the combinations of people, and sometimes it can be something that's a real struggle. But thankfully, that's a rarity. But it's an interesting barometer as well when you travel through different countries and how audiences can be so different.
What's your favorite country to play in?
At the moment, I think it's either Holland, Belgium, or America. Actually, we've just had a really good tour in a couple of months back in the States.
Who are your three favorite musicians? And maybe you have more than three, but off the top of your head, if you can name three musicians that you really love, could you tell us who they would be? Or who they are, rather.
Okay, I'd say violin player called Martin Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And who would the third person be?
Don't think too much. Whatever pops into your head first.
Yeah, there's two. I'll tell you the third before I end the interview.
Okay.
Sounds good. Are you excited about opening for Bob Dylan next month?
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. I mean, it's a dream scenario, really, you know. We were kind of lucky enough that we kind of, we bumped into him in a rehearsal room around about in 1994 or so in Dublin. And, we were then and are still huge Dylan fans, and so he kind of took a shine to us and invited us over to play some gigs with him in London and Belfast. And so that alone was kind of a mind-blowing experience, to kind of have that kind of, to get to stand in somebody's life and of person of that stature.
Yeah.
And kind of a hero to boot. So I think it's a case of, since then, I think Glenn has kind of stayed in touch with his manager, and he's opened up for Dylan a couple of times in festivals in Ireland. And I think whatever happened, they were down in, like, the manager and Bob were kind of looking at the potential openers for Australia, like looking through the roster of bands that the agent down in Australia had, their agent down in Australia. So it turns out that we had the same agent. So we were on a list of 50 bands and they chose us.
Wow.
So it was kind of total grace, you know. What more can you ask for?
Right.
So it's kind of, I think all of us are kind of still a bit skeptical as regards, we're not actually willing to accept the fact of it happening. So I think we're a little you get very realistic about things after 17 years in bands with regards to kind of things that might happen and things that, you know, so you get pretty pragmatic about kind of waiting until you get your boarding pass for the airplane and,
right, you know, don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
Don't count your chickens. Exactly. Yeah. But hopefully it doesn't catch cold or anything, and, you know. But it's great as well, because we've been to Australia a couple of times, but we've never been to New Zealand, so this gives us a great opportunity to kind of go straight into a big room in New Zealand. And, yeah.
Great. If there were two or three things that you could change about the world we live in, what would those things be?
I think the way the power is structured in the world is completely it's imbalanced. And I suppose until that changes, you know, the world is going to be out of balance, you know?
Right.
So I think, yeah. But, you know, I think I wouldn't be fatalistic necessarily about the state of the world. I think it's just kind of the biggest empires that seem so, like, kind of indestructible kind of tend to collapse quite quickly, you know, whether that be Rome or whoever else.
that leads to another question. If you had the chance to fill a time capsule with items that represent today's era, well, what would you fill it with?
I suppose you'd put an iPod in there.
Yes.
What else would you put in this? I remember hearing a great story about Spike Milligan. You know, are you familiar with Spike Milligan, the comedian?
No. Tell us about Spike.
He was an English comedian, very, very kind of influential. He was a member of the Goons with Peter Sellers.
Oh.
Way back in the 50s and 60s, and they were kind of the precursors to the Monty Python. But he was a very eccentric character, you know, and he used to be a soldier, I think, and he got shell-shocked and stuff in the Second World War. But he's a very, very great writer of books. But he was asked, you know, when he died, how he'd like to be buried. And so he said that he'd like to be buried in a washing machine, just to confuse archaeologists of the future.
That's great. Did you think of your third musician yet?
My third musician?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
We'll stick with two.
Okay, and I'll throw another violin player in. I'd say Stefan Grappelli would have to be in there. So.
Right on.
All right. Well, we're about to wrap things up. Do you have any last words, anything that you'd like to say? We have a grand finale.
Okay. What would I like to say? Well, I suppose you're in California, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to be in California in September, playing some gigs.
Oh, great!
If you keep an ear out for us, we're going to be, I think, from about maybe the 5th of September onwards, we'll be there for about 2 or 3 weeks. So.
Great.
Hope you come out and check it out.
Oh, definitely.
We're there. We're certainly there.
We'll be there for sure.
Okay,
will you please give us your best impression of a pirate?
Army.
Very good.
All right, you passed the test. Very good. All right, thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Good
we'll be in touch soon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Good afternoon.
Pleasure talking to you.